Assemble the votees. All glories, ye assemble the votees. All glories, ye assemble the votees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 10th chapter, text 13. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Rosha Vibrama Vivrita Kataksha Pata Sambranta Nakra Makarho Maya Girna Goshaha Sindhu Sira Ashirasi Arhanam Parigriya Rupi Padaravendam Upagamyam Upagamyam Babasha Etat Ya Rosha Vibrama Vivritta Kataksha Pata I'll go slower. Sambranta Nakra Makaro Vaya Girna Gosha Sindhu Shirasya Haranam Parigriya Rupi Padaravindam Upakamya Bhapasha Hetat Yadrosha Vibrama Vivritta Kataksha Pata Sambranta Nakara Makaro Bayagirna Kosha Nakara Makaro Bayagirna Kosha Sindhu Sirasya Raranam Parigriya Rupi Padaravindam Upagamya Babasha Hetat Yad Rosha Vibrama Vibrita Kataksha Pata Sambranta Nakaro Makaro Bayagirna Gosha Sindhu Sindhu Shirasya Rahanam Parigriya Rupi Padaravindam Upagamya Babasha Hetat Okay.
Yadrosha Vibrama Vibritta Kataksha Pata
Okay, Rocky, Sakshi Gopal, Vilas Mandri, Rishesri, Guillermo Rivatinanda, Mayapur, Japan, that's good. Norma San, Alanto, Manarini Radha, Rishesh, Radha Padma. Ita Raki Gurman Dalinjaya Rishikesh James Wright. Okay, thank you all for watching us. A little bit. What's that? My glass. That's enough. That's enough. All right, word by word. Yadrosha. Whose anger? Vibrama. Induced by. Vibrita, turned. Katakshapata, by the glance. Sambranta, agitated. Nakra, crocodiles. Makaraha, and sharks. Moyagirnagoshaha, whose loud sound was silenced through fear. Sindhu, the ocean. Shirasi, on his head. Arhanam, all paraphernalia for worshiping the Lord. Parigriya, carrying. Rupi, taking form. Pada Aravindam, the lotus feet of the Lord. Upagamya, reaching. Babasha, said. Etat, the following. Translation. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. So there's no purport to this verse, but because there's a lot of intervening pastimes that occurred between the last verse, which ended with the killing of Bali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, I'm going to sort of fill in the gaps here. So, Yadrosha Vibrama Vibritta Katakshapata Sambranta Nakaramako Vayagirna Kosha Sindhu Shirasya Haranam Varikriya Rupi Padaravindam Abhagamya Babasha Etat. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So let's continue the story from the killing of Bali. And after Bali was killed, of course, his son Angada became the assistant of Sugriva. Sugriva became the king at this particular point of Kishkinda. And interestingly enough, Tara, who happened to be Bali's wife, now became Sugriva's wife. Interesting, isn't it? These are monkeys. Don't imitate. So then, after this, it became the Chaturmasha period. The Chaturmasha period is a very interesting period because it's the period in India where there's a lot of rainfall. Just like I was reading the news recently, there was a lot of rainfall in Mumbai, even the last day or two. And people were all crowded under one canopy at the railway station. And then what happened is that someone said the canopy is collapsing, so everybody started running, and like 30 people died from the stampede. But anyway, it's the rainy season. I don't need to give all the Indian news right now. So during the rainy season, basically nothing happened, because the sages, they would stay in one particular place because there weren't modern conveniences. And so they would stay in one place and execute special austerities so they wouldn't get attached. Actually, sometimes people talk about Chaturmas following different austerities. The whole purpose of the austerities is if you stay in one place, you don't get attached. But if you're traveling all the time, that's the main austerity. You understand? And some of the austerities were quite unique or difficult. There's some austerities like only eating once a day with your hands tied behind your back. And you have to go down like a duck. And when you eat something and you get up, that's it. That's the only time you're allowed to eat the whole day. So we should institute that here in Suva. Devotees will be a lot healthier and thinner. So, but there's a reason for that. Sometimes we have all these austerities and penances, and basically the devotees, they just take them as rituals rather than understanding the reason behind them. So the reason behind that is to reduce, you know, your attachments, because you stay in one place. As they say, rolling stone gathers no moss, and if you stay in one place, you start to get attached. Just like I've been here in Fiji for 3 weeks, I'm getting attached. And I'm thinking, why can't I stay? I asked the devotees the other day, can you get me a PR for Fiji? But then I know I have to keep moving or else I'm going to have to execute austerities. Stop eating Daruga. So, anyway, so that's the Chaturmas period. It was raining. And so they basically, Lord Ram couldn't, and the monkeys, Sugriva, they couldn't look for Sita during those 4 months of the rainy season. I mean, that's obvious. And so what was decided was Lord Ram would live in a cave outside of Kishkinda, because he wasn't allowed, according to his vow, to enter a city, including the monkey city. He had to stay outside, so he stayed in this cave while it was raining outside, and he was remembering Sita the whole time. As we mentioned yesterday, when Lord Ram was approaching Kishkinda before he met Hanuman and Sugriva, he was on the Pampa Lake, on the banks of the Pampa Lake, and he was crying out. This crying is elaborated on during in 3 or 4 chapters of the Valmiki Ramayana. He was crying out in separation from Sita. He says, I have no use for living. What is life all about? My dear beloved is not here. Just like an ordinary man being separated from his wife. And of course, in a previous purport, Prabhupada says that Lord Rama is teaching us externally the lesson that when one goes traveling, anyway, but don't take your wife. Of course, it's a modern world. I'm not criticizing people for taking their wives traveling, but in those days, it was very dangerous. So, and then internally, he was showing the mood of Vipralamba, intense separation. And when there's intense separation between the Lord and his devotee, and the Lord and his consort, there is connection. We were talking about this last night. When there's intense separation in this world, you're not connected with the person at all. Unless the person happens to be a devotee. And I gave the example last night that, let's say I feel separation from my father who passed away maybe 22 years or 24 years ago. And he's not there. He's gone. It's all finished. That relationship is finished. That may sound cold, heartless, but it's a fact that those relationships are like soap bubbles floating on the water, or soap bubbles being blown by some kid. They're finished. Finished, gone. Of course, as a sannyasi, I have to talk like that. So, in any case, the separation between the Lord and his devotees, between the spiritual master and disciple is not like that. It's an eternal relationship. So whenever you're feeling great separation from your spiritual master, you're with your spiritual master. And when you have dreams of the spiritual master, that's your spiritual master. When your old relatives come to you in dreams, that's not them. If you have a seance and some medium thinks or says that he's bringing your old relatives to you, it's nonsense. He's just cheating you. So anyway, so spiritual separation is being taught by Lord Ramchandra. So anyway, so getting back to the story where we left off, Lord Ramchandra is feeling separation. He's in the cave in the mountains outside of Kishkinda. And basically, during that time, Sugriva is basically pigging out, or as we would say, monkeying out. Because for the first time, he's back in Kishkinda. He's back with his wife. Not only does he have his wife, he has Tara also, his brother's wife. And they are enjoying like crazy, and they are getting drunk. That's described in the Valmiki Ramayana. They're all completely intoxicated on probably, you know, honey wine, something nice. Not like vodka or what else do you all take here? I don't know anything else. I mean, just know Russia, you have vodka. So anyway, so they were getting all intoxicated, having a good time, forgetting that the 4 months of the rainy season were over. But Lord Ram is not forgetting that. And then after the 4 months are over, the rain stops, he says to Lakshman, why hasn't that ungrateful monkey done anything yet? And he has this to say. He's really angry. So the Lord, just like we're reading in this verse, the Lord gets angry sometimes. He enjoys his anger. This is one of the indirect rasas. There's the direct rasas, which we're all aware of, you know, the Shanta Dasha, Sakya Vatsalya Madhurya. And then the indirect rasas, which are like anger, shock, humor, right? Chivalry. These are all enjoyable by the Lord. And so one of the reasons he comes down to the world is to enjoy those particular indirect rasas, which flavor the direct rasa. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, it's like a garam masala on your vegetable. It means a hot mixture of spices. Just like last night, they gave us some poppers that had some chilies in them. They're very nice. Really brought out the flavor.
So, of course, very few people eat chilies by themselves, but they mix it. So they, when you mix the indirect rasas with the rasas, with the direct rasas, you get a very flavorful combination, as long as it's compatible. Read Nectar Devotion to understand that. So Ram is angry, and he gets Lakshman all worked up. He says, well, that's Sugriva. So what happens is that Lakshman, he goes, he's sent by Ram to confront Sugriva. So he approaches in a very angry mood, practically flame is coming out of his hair or whatever, to Kishkinda. And the monkeys who are guarding Kishkinda, they see him, these big monkeys, and they just run away because he's just so frightening when he gets angry. So he storms into the palace, in the palace in Kishkinda. And everyone is nervous. You know, Hanuman is informing Sugriva, you better do something. You know, there's going to be destruction here in Kishkinda. And Sugriva doesn't know what to do. He's drunk. Tara's drunk. Ruma, which is his original wife, monkey wife, is drunk too. So they're, you know, all completely, basically on the floor. So Sugriva's like shaking. He's shaking with anxiety. I mean, what am I going to do? And then Hanuman, be very intelligent. Hanuman never gets drunk. Remember that. The rest of them, they drink. So we should be like Hanuman, not like Sugriva. So, anyway, so Hanuman says, look, there's only one way to pacify Lakshman. And he'll never attack a lady. Of course, previously he had some encounters with Surpanaka, but that's a different issue, because she attacked Sita Devi trying to kill Sita, so. And there was actually another Rakshasini. Actually, it's an interesting story, going back a little bit, the Ramayana, that after this whole encounter with Surpanaka and Sita, Sita was kidnapped and everything, and Ram and Lakshman were looking for Sita, there was another Rakshasini, Ayodhya or something, who fell in love with Lakshman. And she just tried to kidnap Lakshman. She didn't fall in love with Ram at that time. And Lakshman just like did the same trick he did with Surpanaka. Sent her away screaming. Anyway, so Lakshman wasn't too kind to Rakshasinis. So anyway, so Hanuman says, you better send Tara out. So here, Tara goes out to try to pacify Lakshman, and it's described her clothes, whatever clothes monkeys wear, I don't know, but her clothes were disheveled. That means they were just in all disarray, and she was like speaking with a slur. You ever hear of someone who's drunk? Lakshman. You know, I can't do it well because I was never drunk. So she goes out, and Lakshman, basically, he's so good with the ladies, unless they happen to be Rakshasinis, that he just looks at their feet. In fact, the whole time he was with Ram, he never looked at Sita's face. He couldn't recognize Sita by her face, only by the jewelry on her feet. So basically, he sees this lady come out, and he looks at her feet. She pacifies him. And she says to him, in her drunken voice, like that. I mean, I can't imitate a drunken woman. I just don't know how they speak. So she says in a drunken voice, Sugriva, I've already made arrangements for you. He sent out messages. I know this is not how a drunk person sounds. He sent out messages for the hordes of monkeys to come and look for Sita. And so Lakshman becomes pacified, goes back to Ram. Ram is happy. So then there's an elaborate description how billions of monkeys come from all directions. The Valmiki Ramayana, as I mentioned before, is all Valmiki Ramayana. has elaborate descriptions. So there's like billions of monkeys from the west, from the east, the giant monkeys, the bears come. And so there's a big GBC meeting of all the... Sorry. There's a big meeting of all the monkeys and the bears. And basically, as you know, Sugriva assigns them different areas to look for Sita Devi. You know, some go to the north, the east, the west. And there's a group that goes to the south. Obviously, that's where Sita is, you know, all the way to the south in Lanka. So that group, of course, is Angada and Hanuman and other monkeys like this. So they proceed to the south, looking for Sita Devi. And they're going south, they don't see any sign of Sita Devi, and they're getting very depressed. And at one point, they're getting very hungry, because they haven't had anything to eat for a long time. I mean, Hanuman's all right, he's self-controlled. But these monkeys, you know, they're... Anyway, if you've been in Vrindavan, you know what I'm talking about. They're voracious eaters. So as they're just like thirsty, there's no water to drink, there's no food, then they see a cave. And in that cave, they see like birds coming out of the cave and animals coming out of the cave, and they think, there must be water here. Must be water here. So they enter into this cave, deep, deep, deep into the caves, and they see within the cave, there's all these varieties of fruits and vegetables, and all sorts of... It's a beautiful cave with waterfalls in it. And they're thinking, wow, Sharira Vijaja. Anyway, so, but then this lady comes out. Actually, I wrote her name down here. Anyway, it's Swayam Pravaha. Anyway, she's guarding the cave for... The cave was constructed by Maya Dhanavas, and Maya Dhanavas' daughter was given the cave. Yeah, that's right. And so anyway, so she's guarding the cave, and she says, no one has ever escaped from this cave before. So you're finished. Let's hear who you are. And she explains who she is. The monkeys explain who they are, and Hanuman especially. And she says, well, it's Lord Ram's mission. It's okay with me. And she says, take whatever fruits, vegetables you want, and enjoy. So the monkeys are all enjoying like anything, eating like that. And finally she says, after they're all finished, basically no one's ever escaped from this cave before. However, I'm going to transport you to where you can try to find Sita. So through her mystic power, the monkeys close their eyes and they wake up, or they open their eyes, on the shore of the ocean, the South Ocean, in India. But the monkeys are all thinking, this is the end. You know, we haven't found Sita, and there's the ocean there. And, you know, monkeys can swim a little bit, but not that well. And you have Hanuman, of course, he can do anything. But he's forgotten all of his powers. The reason he forgot all of his powers is when he was young, he had taunted the sages. I mean, there's some stories like he had lifted the sages' houses and they opened their doors and they were up high in the air. Other times he had locked the doors of the sages' houses, and when they woke up in the morning to pass, you know, to go to the bathroom, they couldn't get out of the house. Other times he put lions, tigers, and elephants right outside the door of the sages, so when they went out to pass in the morning, they couldn't, you know, because they were scared. So in this way, he got cursed to forget his powers. And Hanuman basically had unlimited powers. So there's no question of him being powerless. But still there was a problem. So the monkeys were thinking, this is it, we haven't found Sita, but we don't want to go back. Because if we go back, Sugriva's going to kill us because we haven't found Sita. Because they understand Sita's in the south and Ravana is in the south. They understand they've been given the mission of actually finding Sita. The other ones weren't going to find Sita. So they say, we just stay here. There's no food here, but it's better we just fast to death. doing yogic powers or something, yogic meditation. And so they all decide, you know, Hanuman keeps saying, let's go back, you know, there's no problem. And they're saying, no. And especially Angada, he understands, you know, he's not so sure whether Sugriva is his friend at this point, because Angada is the son of Bali, who was killed because of Sugriva's wanting to take over the kingdom. And Sugriva may be very happy to have him killed. Okay, so they're meditating, thinking, fasting till death. And this big bird who can't fly, named Sampati, sees them. And he thinks, great, prasada. You know, I guess he eats monkeys or something. He's, you know, birds can eat, birds are not vegetarians. They eat worms. There's vultures. We talked about vultures the other day. Like Chitayo is a vulture. And vultures eat cows, horses, human beings, anything. You don't have any vultures here. But where I live, there's vultures. And they're big. How big were they?
3 meters.
3 meters. I mean, Chitayo was a lot bigger than that. But then, you know, 3 meters. That's a big bird. And they, like Prabhupada said, they fly very high looking for dead bodies. Prabhupada described that as like the materialists. You know, they go very high, they have a great philosophy, they have much science. And what are they doing? They're simply dealing with dead bodies. So this is a vulture. You know, a big vulture. But he couldn't fly because... and I'll tell the story in a second. But anyway, so he was thinking, now time to eat. And he was rubbing his feet, not his wings, because he didn't have wings. And time to eat. And then he was listening to them talk, and they were mentioning Ram's name, and they even mentioned Jatayu's name. And as soon as he heard the name Jatayu, he came down off of his perch, and he said, Jatayu, what are you talking about? What about Jatayu? And then the monkeys described the whole story, how Jatayu had tried to fight off Ravan. Jatayu had been killed. And somebody reveals, he says, actually, I'm Jatayu's older brother. And the reason my wings got burnt, I don't have wings right now, is that Jatayu was one time, you know, feeling real playful. He tried to go too close to the sun. Big problem. And I wanted to shield him so his wings wouldn't get burnt. So I shielded him with my wings. I got burnt, fell to the ground, and protected Jatayu. And so I have no wings. So I just have to eat whatever comes of its own accord. And plus, he gave another story too, that there was a great sage who blessed me that as soon as I help the monkeys find Sita Devi in the service of Lord Ram, my wings are going to grow back. So the monkeys were delighted to hear this. Because as I mentioned before, vultures have a way. They can see for many, many kilometers, like 5, 10, 15. And this vulture was actually even better. So the monkeys were delighted, and then the vulture gave up his idea of eating them. And he said, let me try to find Sita Devi. So he went up to a little perch up there, and he focused his eyes, like a camera lens or something. Pranath will appreciate that. So he focused his eyes further and further and further and further, and finally he saw the island of Lanka. And then on the island of Lanka, he saw Sita Devi in the Ashok forest. And he described, she's there in Lanka. But it was 80 yojanas away. Now, this is the description in the Valmiki Ramayana. 80 yojanas, for those of you who don't know what a yojana is, each yojana is 10 miles. Sometimes 8, 10 miles, but it's a lot. Whatever it is, it's a lot. That's 800 miles, which is 1,200 kilometers. That's pretty far, isn't it? Can any of you see that far? I mean, basically, I need my glasses to see 2 meters. So he revealed his wings grew back, he flew off, and he said, yes, you will be successful. Actually, in the beginning, even when Sita was kidnapped, it wasn't real Sita, of course, Maya Sita, but even when there was the kidnapping, it was predicted that Ram would be successful because Ravan kidnapped Maya Sita during a particular time of the day, which indicated auspiciousness for Ram. Ravana didn't realize that. Ravan was pretty much blind to all these different signs and everything like that. Like when Ravana would fight with Ram, he didn't notice that his left eye was throbbing, which means he was going to lose. He just said, it doesn't matter, all these signs. But in those days, and that's mentioned many times in the Ramayana, signs were taken, or portents were taken, as very important. Like if your right eye was blinking and you were a man, that means success. And if your left eye is blinking, stay home. Lock yourself in the room. Don't just chant Hare Krishna very loudly and enthusiastically, if that's happening. What happened is somebody flew away, and then the monkeys were talking, who can fly across the ocean? And Jambavan said, I used to be a young bear. He wasn't a bear, actually. Prabhupada said Jambavan wasn't a bear, he was the king of the bears. But I used to be young and able to do this. I could fly around the whole universe. Actually, he circumambulated Lord Vamanadeva when Lord Vamanadeva kicked a hole in the universe. That's how powerful he was. He said, but I can't do it anymore. And they went all around, the different monkeys, Nal and Neil and Angada. Nobody could fly and come back. And then Jambavan remembered that Hanuman had those powers. Now, how did Jambavan remember? Because Jambavan is Chiranjeev. He was present during the pastimes of Lord Ram as they occurred in a previous day of Lord Brahma. Pretty cool, isn't it? So he just had a little memory lapse. So he remembered, this is what happens at this particular point. Because he lives practically for a whole life along with Lord Brahma. He's Lord Brahma's son. So he was remembering, and he says, Hanuman has the powers, but he's forgotten. So then he begins to preach to Hanuman. Hanuman, da-da-da-da-da. You have all these powers. You can jump across the ocean. You can lift mountains. You can do so many things. And Hanuman, wow, that's right. I am Hanuman. He remembers all these things. Quite an interesting pastime. And then what he does is he expands himself tremendously. Real big, climbs up on the highest hill. I forget the name of the hill he climbs up at that point. And he jumps towards Lanka. And all the monkeys are cheering, like in some football game, basically. Hanibo! Hanuman! And not only that, when he jumps from the mountain, it's described that that particular mountain becomes compressed into the earth. And the airstream from his jumping sucks, it's like a vacuum. It sucks the trees and boulders and they're following behind him. You can imagine the force, like a rocket, or even, this is like a million times stronger than a rocket, a giant monkey. So, isn't it? Wow. There he goes. Anyway, so. Actually, as I'm talking, reciting this pastime, I'm actually seeing it in my mind, so forgive me. So, he goes across. I'm not going to talk about the stories, how he confronts Sodasa and Simika. I could tell that story anyway. Anyway. Sodasa is sent by the demigods to try to test his power, and she says, I have the power to anybody, anything that comes, while he's going. Actually, two things happen. three things happen. At the Mainaka, there's a mountain who wants to give him a place to rest. And he says, I can't rest in the service of Lord Rama. I'm just proceeding. But he just touches his feet on the mountain just to show the right etiquette and goes ahead. And then there's this Thurasa, who's a demigoddess, who's taken the form of a demon, and she says that Lord Brahma has granted me the power that whatever comes by here has to go in my mouth. So Hanuman, being more intelligent, just makes himself real small, flies in her mouth, and then flies out again. She's pleased. But then there's this demoness, Simhaka, who has the ability to stop someone in the air if she sees their shadow. You know that story? You haven't seen it? You heard the story? You've heard the story. Some of you have heard the story. And so she grabs Hanuman's shadow, and Hanuman's just like frozen there in the air. And she basically puts Hanuman in her mouth, but he just like goes up through here, splits her skull, and goes on to try to find Sita Devi. Anyway, so I don't know if we have time for the whole Ramayana today. But anyways, so he flies to Lanka, arrives at the gate of Lanka, and there's this Rakshasini, Lankini. That's a female Lanka. She's guarding the gate. So Hanuman makes himself very small to escape her gaze, but she sees him. She sees him. And she says, where are you going, monkey? And he says, I'm just going to get some fruits, you know. Don't worry. Little tiny monkey, because he makes himself small, get under the gate. And she says, no one goes through here without my permission. I'm Lankini, and I've been asked to be here. And she tries to slap Hanuman, and Hanuman, boom! What is it, a mushtika? You know, anyway. The fist. Actually, the name Hanuman is basically means the jaw. Because when he was young, his jaw was broken by the thunderbolt of Indra. Did you know that? And so he had a little misshape in the jaw, so he's given the name of the jaw. It's sometimes you find a professional wrestling, someone is the jaw, or someone the fist. So Hanuman's the jaw, you know, anyway. So he punches her, and she's bleeding at the mouth from this whole thing. Little tiny monkey, you know, he's like this small compared to her. And he punches her, and she's completely shocked. It'd be like a little bug punching you. And you're bleeding at the mouth from being punched by the little bug. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm not nice, but anyway. But then she reveals she's actually a demigoddess who was cursed to come down there, and now she's liberated because it was predicted as soon as she was defeated by a monkey, she could go back to her position in the heavenly planets. So she leaves. Hanuman enters Lanka looking for Sita. How much time do we have? We've got a few more minutes. Hanuman enters Lanka. Bajagovinda, how much more time do I have? 5 minutes? Okay, because I can go on forever. It's just like, usually I love the Ramayana. It's just like I'm ready to shake in ecstasy right now. So Hanuman enters Lanka. He's looking for Sita, but the first place he looks, I mean, he sees all the palaces, there's gold there, the Trikut Mountain, and he enters into Ravana's palace. And it happens to be the evening, and Ravana, all of his wives are all there, and they're all asleep, and they're all drunk. So they're lying around. This is like, it looks to him like the Brahmacharini ashram. You understand? Ladies, all ladies lying around, you know, not properly dressed, obviously, and drunk, like that. So he's flying around there, real small, looking for Sita Devi, and he thinks, I'm a brahmachari. What am I doing in the woman's ashram? You know, why am I here? And then he remembers, of course he's not attracted, he's a real brahmachari. He remembers this is Lord Ram's service. So he goes around and then he sees Ravan there lying on one of the beds, and he's thinking, should I kill him? And he's thinking, no, Ram has only told me what? To find Sita Devi. So he's very much adhering to the mission that Lord Ram has given him. He's not thinking, you know, I want to give the credit to Lord Ram, he's thinking. I don't want the credit for this particular rescue. So, and then he sees a very, very beautiful lady on one of the beds there, and he thinks, that must be Sita. You know, for a second he thinks it's Sita, and then what he does, it's described in the Valmiki Ramayana, he takes his tail and starts kissing his tail. Because that's a sign of jubilation for a monkey, I guess. You know. He starts kissing his tail and jumping up and down, actually because he thinks he's found. But then he realizes it couldn't be Sita because this lady's drunk and she's with Ravana. And it happens to be Mandodari, who was Ravana's wife. One of Ravana's. Actually, Ravana had unlimited wives. He kidnapped girls, like sages' daughters and kings' daughters. And he kidnapped them. And they loved to be his wives because he was so damn handsome. You know, Ravana was not an ugly chap. He was millions of times more handsome than your husbands. Millions and billions of times more rich than your husbands. Millions and billions of times stronger than your husbands. Millions and billions of times more intelligent than your husbands. You would go with him in a second if he came. Any of you ladies would immediately, Ravana came, well, forget about that old, smelly old bag that I'm married to. So these girls, they gladly accepted. And he had to, because he couldn't force himself upon a woman because he was cursed by Nalakuvara after he attacked Nalakuvara's wife, that he couldn't force himself upon a woman. So Ravana had so many wives. Anyway, so Hanuman didn't find Sita Devi. And then he encounters Vibhishan, and he's wondering, you know, why is this Rakshasa chanting Ram, Ram, Ram? Quite unusual, isn't it? Ram, 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 Ram. I mean, when you go a place and everybody's like an aborigine or a Rakshasa and you find someone who's a devotee, it's shocking. Just like the devotees, interesting story. One time they entered into the Brazilian jungle, you know, that small village in the Brazilian jungle, and they were going door to door preaching. And they came upon a lady, and she had deities of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and Wadi Gornatai, and she was chanting japa. And what happened is that lady previously was a stewardess in an airplane where Prabhupada was flying, and she stole Prabhupada's Mahaprasad. You know that story? She just grabbed a little and said, oh, very tasty. And just taking a little bit of Mahaprasad from Prabhupada, she became a devotee, even without the association of other devotees. Of course, she obviously ordered all the paraphernalia. So Hanuman basically is told by Vibhishan, to make a long story short, that Vibhishan says, living here is very difficult. It's like being the tongue in between the teeth. You know, the tongue in between the teeth because you get bit. And he's told that you can find Sita in the Ashok Grove. He finds Sita in the Ashok Grove. Actually, probably don't have any more time. He finds Sita in the Ashok Grove, and then in order to pacify Sita, he takes the form of a little monkey, chants about Ram, shows her Ram's ring, so she becomes pacified. He offers to take her. He offers actually to take her back to Ram. She refuses because she doesn't want to touch any male without Ram, you know, except for Ram. And let's say he wants to test Ravana's forces, and in testing Ravana's forces, he destroys the whole Ashok Grove. He kills many of the monkeys, many of the sons of Ravan, and that's all we have time for today. I mean, there's so much in the Ramayana. And as I mentioned yesterday, the Valmiki Ramayana is what I get my inspiration from. because it has so much more detail. It's the authorized Ramayana, according to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And you connect it with Ram when you read it. You have no doubt about it, because Valmiki is an absolute pure devotee. So any questions or comments? Or arguments? Or problems? Yes?
Yeah. Is it more or better than
well, traveling and preaching is considered, yeah, preaching, not just traveling. You know, if I was just traveling to go to, what's a vacation spot near here? I guess Fiji. So, and Den or Al. If I came here to Fiji, went to Den or Al, and which is the vacation spot where all the rich people go to, then that would not be an austerity. But traveling continually for a sannyasi and preaching is, I wouldn't say it's a difficult austerity, it's a pleasurable austerity, but when you're traveling a lot, it's an austerity. It definitely is an austerity, especially through the time zones and everything like that. So, and when you don't stay in a place for very long, then you don't get overly attached to a particular place. You know, generally, we want to be in one place, arrange the furniture in our place, a nice bed, the curtains, everything like that, right? I mean, most of you have houses, so you know what I'm talking about. And then everything, you know, pictures on the wall. I don't have too much of that luxury. It's just like, everywhere I go, And you know, sometimes you get up in the middle of the night and you can't even figure which direction the bathroom is in. And you have to remember not to walk off the balcony. So it's definitely an austerity. But during the Chaturmash period, you couldn't travel during the rainy season, so the sannyasis had to do special austerities so they wouldn't get attached. That's the purpose of the austerities. It's not that austerities in and of themselves are spiritual. You understand? There has to be a purpose. The purpose of the austerities during Kadasi are so you can hear and chant more and reduce bodily necessities. There's a purpose. I mean, if you just simply stay awake all night, I had one friend who observed the Kadasi by staying awake all night. He was very strict. And he would simply watch the stock market all night long and invest, because that's the only thing that could keep him up at night. I mean, if it was Krishna Katha, you know, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, let's go to sleep. He would fall asleep immediately. So he had to engage in some passionate activity. Is that beneficial? I don't think so. That's not a kadashi. Yeah, he stayed awake all night, didn't eat all night, very determined. I don't think his austerity, it wasn't austerity. I don't think his activities netted him any net spiritual benefit. So we have to understand, main point I was making, is there's a purpose behind everything we do. If we simply see things as rituals and we do them because they're rituals, that's called niyamagraha. And it becomes detrimental to spiritual life rather than helpful. So one has to understand the purpose of everything that they do. And some austerities may be applicable now, some may not be applicable now. I don't certainly, during Chaturmash, I don't grow my beard. Prabhupada said that devotees who grow their beard during Chaturmash, you can call it Chaturmess. Prabhupada didn't like it. The reason for it, traditionally, why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did it, because it was hot, it was rainy, it's miserable. You ladies wouldn't understand this, because you don't have beards. But anyway, that it's miserable to have a beard when it's hot with no air conditioning and it's raining and it's humid. You understand? It teaches you you're not your body. But if we do it, it's just like, it's vanity. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone who does it, but Prabhupada didn't like it. Yeah. What's the question? What's that?
If I ask about the traveling austerity, how is the austerity like traveling is more better or better?
Well, the austerity by traveling preaching. Preaching is the best austerity. Yeah. Yeah, that's another type of austerity. And then, you know, you have your jet lag. You know, I get someplace and I can't figure out whether it's the day or the night. You wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. I mean, that's sannyasis. It's part of occupational hazard. You know, occupational hazard. I mean, I'm not complaining about it. I like it. I like it. But it keeps you detached. Because the purpose of austerity is to be detached. If you keep moving, you generally stay detached. I mean, all you can be attached to is your computer at that point. And your mobile phone. I mean, and the holy name. Hopefully the holy name. Hopefully Krishna Katha. Hopefully. Okay. I think we have to end now. Bhaji Govinda, is he here? There he is. So all glories to Mr. Vine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.